The lesson is written in the third chapter of the book of Daniel, beginning at the first verse. It can be found on page 886 of your pew Bibles. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, the prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. And so the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and people of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will be immediately thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and peoples of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and they denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your Majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, Your Majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summons Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisers, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, Your Majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisers crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command, and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. I invite you now to stand for our gospel reading.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, beginning at the 18th verse, and you'll find it on page 1012 of the Pew Bibles. "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in the law: they hated me without reason. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they're offering a service to God. They will do such things because they've not known the Father or me. I've told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you." What are you most looking forward to about heaven? It's an interesting question, and we could spend the whole morning talking about that. I'll tell you one of the things I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to finding out about how prayers were answered. I'm looking forward to finding out how the prayers I've even forgotten I ever prayed were answered. I'm looking forward to finding out about why certain things happened and who was praying for me that I was completely unaware of. And I think that's going to be amazing. And I think I will just be blown away by the truth of that. So you're going to hear about some unpleasant things in this short talk. But the thing is what I want you to focus on today, this is about people who are utterly inspiring to me. Utterly inspiring. Not to feel sorry for, but to look up to. even though they're mostly about this tall, as you will see. So this is good news. So first of all, we're going to watch a video about the top 10 countries in the World Watch List. I'm then going to tell you a little bit about the World Watch List, and I'm going to focus on North Korea, and about three North Koreans who I know. Just tell a little story about them. And then the best bit of all, about what we can do about it. Because the one thing, you can forget everything else that I say, but I've printed a lot of these up about the 10 worst countries to be persecuted as a Christian, with a flag, a bit of detail, why they're persecuted. And at the bottom, you might see there's a yellow bit, which is a prayer. And what I'd like you to do is take one of these at the end and just commit to praying that prayer every day. Don't be legalistic about it. You know, if you forget, it doesn't matter. That's all I want you to do. You can forget everything else, because that is your opportunity to change the world. And you won't find out anything probably now, but you will do in heaven. And the Lord will be so proud of what you did, and you'll be amazed at what he did.
Could praying put you in danger? Could going to church risk your life? Could following Jesus cost you your job, your home, or your family? Around the world today, our Christian brothers and sisters are counting the cost of their faith. And these are the 10 countries where the price of following Jesus is highest. Number 10, Afghanistan. The Taliban hunts for hidden networks of believers. Suspected Christians can be arrested, interrogated, and even killed. At number 9, Iran. House churches are seen as a threat to national security. Pastor Anushavan has started serving a 10-year prison sentence after 30 agents raided his home. Sudan is at number 8. In the chaos and conflict of civil war, Christians are especially vulnerable. Believers have been attacked, their property looted, and churches closed. Number 7, Pakistan. Pakistani Christians are seen as second-class citizens. False accusations of blasphemy result in innocent believers facing mob violence. Christian girls continue to be abducted and forced to convert to Islam. Nigeria is at number 6. More Christians are killed for their faith in Nigeria than in all the other countries of the world combined. Pastor Zachariah came home one day to find his village attacked and his wife and son murdered by militants. Number 5. Yemen. The very small number of Yemeni Christians must worship in secret. House church leader Saleh is on the wanted list, but despite death threats, he courageously continues his ministry. At number 4 is Eritrea. Christian activities are severely restricted. When Abdullah told people about Jesus, he was sent to prison. The conditions were so terrible that he never came out alive. Libya is number 3 on the list. Libya considers itself to be a completely Islamic nation. Libyan believers who tell others about Jesus risk arrest and violent opposition. Number 2, Somalia. In this highly restrictive Islamic society, even the suspicion of being a Christian is extremely dangerous. Converts who are discovered may instantly pay with their lives. And at number 1, North Korea. This remains the most costly place in the world to be a Christian. Even owning a Bible is illegal. Jiho's father was taken away when security agents discovered his secret book. She never saw him again. Christians are sent to appalling labor camps or simply killed on the spot. More than 365 million Christians face high levels of persecution and discrimination. That's 1 in 7 Christians globally. And every one of them a son or daughter, a mother, a father, a child of God. For nearly 70 years, Open Doors has been supporting our persecuted church family, helping them to stand strong. They are counting the cost of following Christ. And with your help, they can keep believing, knowing that Jesus is worth everything.
So as I said, I'm going to focus on North Korea. Owning this will get you almost certainly killed. If we suddenly were transported to North Korea, we would all be arrested and probably not come out of camp alive simply for being here. And yet, the church is actually growing in North Korea. So if we just go through the first couple of slides, Paul, so just to remind you about, I'm not going to give you loads of statistics because I'll tell you the story. So first of all, there are 365 million Christians around the world who are being persecuted. Now, it was a study done by the Bishop of Truro, a big parliamentary study done about a couple of years ago. And if we go on to the next slide, a couple of slides, Paul. And that's one in seven. So we're talking about seven or eight of us here, you know, if we were the whole of Christendom, are being persecuted. And what does persecution mean? It means being discriminated against, being denied food, for example, in COVID, being prevented from getting jobs, from being attacked, and ultimately being killed, and it varies. And the top 10 are the worst areas. And the World Watch List, if we move on to that slide, this is a report that's produced annually by Open Doors and launched in Parliament. It was on the 17th of January, and this is a very detailed report, independently researched and verified, and actually they understate the levels of persecution so that it's accurate. And if we show the map here, these are the 50 countries, and you can see where they're located. I'm not going to go through them all because all of this information is accessible. You can see across sub-Saharan Africa and the Middle East and Asia are the worst areas. And then on the next slide, you'll see this was actually last year's World Watch List. And the reason I put this on, because this is research is launched in Parliament, and it was done on the 17th of January this year to over 100 MPs, including my MP, who I act as an advocate towards for Open Doors, Esther McVeigh, who's a cabinet minister. And she went to the launch after I had encouraged her to do so. And the reason they invite the MPs and launch it in Parliament is because there are things that they want the government to do to put pressure on these countries to support Christians and those other religious persecuted minorities. And the woman on the right is Henrietta Blythe, the chief executive, and one of the politicians, Stephen Timms, in the middle. It was Andrea Leadsom who chaired at this year. The guy on the left is a friend of mine, Timothy Cho, who's a North Korean escapee. That is his real name. And he's somebody, honestly, he's amazing. He's going round the world telling people about what it's like in North Korea. Three times he escaped, and twice he was sent back from China and suffered awful things that he actually doesn't like to talk about. But I'll tell you one story about Timothy. When he came to our house, because we live in a rural part of Cheshire, and we were going for a walk down the lane, and there was just some ferns there, you know, which we wouldn't even look at, would we? And he just, Nicola and I walked past him, and he stopped, and he was just feeling these ferns, and I said, you know, why are you doing that? He said, we used to make soup out of these because there was no food. They used to eat grass and fern. He said, if you boil that for 2 hours, you can get something that passes for soup. Anyway, moving on. This is the point, really, of why we're here and talking about it this morning, because we are the body of Christ. And if one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. And what I want to do now is, on the next couple of slides, is just remind us about Daniel. You might think this was a 2,500-year-old story that we heard. Well, it is. But we worship today the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if you remember, I'm not reading it through out, but the yellow highlighted bits, the king Nebuchadnezzar did was he put up a huge statue and told everybody they had to worship it. And then he said, basically, if you don't, you know, you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Then on the next slide, of course, this extraordinary courageous act by them. They said, well, we're not going to do it, and we don't care what you do to us, we're still not going to do it. Now, you might think, good story, you know, that was then. This is North Korea today. Huge statues in the capital in Pyongyang, and they have to bow down and worship these idols of the Kim Jong-un family and the father. Every Korean household has to have a picture of Kim Jong-un in it. And for example, guards can come into your house, and even if the picture's not even straight on the wall, if they feel like it, they can arrest you. And if you own a Bible or anything like that, you're in deep trouble. So the story of Daniel is the story of today in North Korea. But the marvellous thing is, the God who stood with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego stands with these courageous Christians in North Korea and these other countries. He stands with them in the fire, the fourth person. And what's amazing about that is all they have to do is to deny their faith. That's all they have to do. It's a very simple thing to do, just to say that, no, I don't believe in Jesus. It's all they have to do, and worship Kim Jong-un. But they won't, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, here is one of the giants of the faith. Her face is blotted out because obviously this is online for security purposes, but this is one of my favourite people in the entire world who goes under the name of Haewoo. I couldn't tell you her real name, but in 2019 I went over to Korea with a load of people from Open Doors and mostly Dutch, and we did a big physical sort of challenge, and Haewoo was there, and she was the person who I first saw in England at Spring Harvest in Harrogate, who was responsible for me going on this to raise money to support the work of Open Doors. And although you're not meant to take photos, as soon as I told her through the translator what I was doing, she said, can I have a photo? And I thought, well, if you're having one, I'm going to have one as well. But I love that photo because obviously she's about half my size, but I say she is a spiritual giant. I could tell you loads about her. There's another picture. I had to go down to Lee Abbey this summer. I hadn't bought a ticket, but I thought I'm going to meet her, and met the lovely Haewoo again there. Again, there's a picture of that, was last May. This lady was in 10 different prisons. And I'll just tell you a little story about her and the next person. When she was being tortured. Not the next one yet. Just go back to, we're talking about Haewoo. Yeah. She was being tortured. She wouldn't describe what was being done to her. And all she had to do was give up her faith. That's all she had to do. This went on for 3 days. And I live with my grandmother, who was about that size, and I thought the idea of anybody torturing somebody like that is just unimaginable. But she wouldn't give in. On the night of the third day, she said to the Lord, she said, I'm not going to be able to hold on for a fourth day. And she was so worried that she was going to give in and just deny to keep them happy and stop the torture. And she heard the audible voice of God speaking to her. And while she was being tortured, she felt nothing that day, on the fourth day. And she saw a film of Jesus' life. It just went on. And she felt so ashamed. And I couldn't believe this when she was saying she was ashamed. She said, because I realized that my suffering was nothing compared to his. And she repented there. You know, and to say I felt humbled by this story is an understatement. She then went on, the Lord told her what she had to do in prison to share her food with the others, even though they got a cup of rotten rice a day. And she did, and the Lord kept her full. And the Lord also told her to talk to other people about her faith, and she did, even though that was potentially risky. And she established a little church in there, and now, mercifully, she's free. She's got a great sense of humour as well, by the way. Hilarious person. And the second person I just wanted to briefly mention, again, this was in Leeds in November, she's called Kim Sang-hwa. When she was 12, she was fiddling about in, her dad was a carpenter and she didn't know this, but had made a table with a secret drawer in it. And she found this book in there and she opened it. And it said, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And with horror, she threw it away. Because every child's duty is to inform the teachers if their parents have this book or they talk about Jesus. That is their duty. And this poor girl for 15 days was wrestling with, you know, she was obviously a good girl. What should I do? Should I tell the teachers or not? Because she knew that was her duty. Anyway, she eventually told her father, because basically parents in North Korea do not tell their children. There's no such thing as Sunday school. And her father, because she said, "Well, who is this God?" You know, because she'd never heard about God or anything. And through a process, her dad then began to tell her the stories of Jesus, which she loved. And it's so funny hearing her telling about this, because she said she so wanted to tell her friends about these amazing stories at school. And her dad telling her, "You mustn't do this." And again, I haven't got time to tell you the story about how through her father, who was a faithful Christian, the guard who was in the village, because every village has a guard to inform all people, he ended up bringing him to faith, and he ended up marrying Kim Sang-hwa, and I met them, Nicola and I met them in North Wales. Again, another miracle. So the next slide, we're nearly finished now, is this is what she says. This is actually Kim Sang-hwa from the back, that in persecution, Jesus is all you have, and you discover he is all you need. And we asked her what it was like in South Korea, and she said, "I actually find it difficult. They've established a church there now." But she said, "The reason I find it difficult is because people aren't just depending on Jesus. They're depending on all sorts of other things, their jobs, their status, their profile." And she said, "In North Korea, we only could depend on Jesus because there was nothing else to lean on." So what can we do? Well, I've already told you, really, haven't I? I think the first and most important thing is to pray. This is us praying for a lady called Nina Lim in Korea. This is what persecuted Christians ask for more than anything. They do not want to be forgotten. They want to know that these strangers in places like Englefield or Hailey or wherever are praying for them. And that is what we can do. And as I say, just remind you to pick up one of these at the end. I've done some of North Korea, but the other countries as well. The other thing you can do is, you can get, that's a QR code for anybody who's into that sort of thing. But there's a card here on your seat, and you can fill that in with your details. And you can post it. I think it's just gone up to £185, hasn't it, for first class post. Or you can give it to me for free, and I'll deliver them. But from there, you can get a free book about God's Smuggler, the story of Open Doors through Brother Andrew, and also receive the excellent free literature that they provide, and emails and whatever. And that QR code is on the front if you want. And lastly, the third thing that Open Doors focus on, so to pray, most important, give if you want to, but don't worry about it. And the last thing is to raise awareness, and that's why I'm here, because people don't believe this is going on.